Give it one more minute before we begin. Thank you all for joining us today. The time is now 10:01 on Wednesday, October 16th, and the Private Activity Bond Committee is called to order. For the record, my name is Jaime Alvarez. I'm the Director of Debt Management here at Oregon State Treasury, and I'm the Treasurer's Designee and Chair of the PAB Committee. And for roll call, I would like to ask each member of the PAB Committee to identify yourself for the record. Rhonda. Start with you.
Good morning. I'm Rhonda Nelson, Department of Administrative Services, Capital Finance Manager, and the Governor's Designee.
Thank you. Teresa.
Teresa Diebel, I'm public member.
Thank you. Okay, thank you very much. An agenda and meeting materials for this meeting was circulated, so hopefully everyone has that handy. It's a fairly light agenda that we will cover today. We'll go over the current private activity bond status, and then we will receive a project update from Oregon Housing. As a reminder, just for all attendees, please mute your mics unless you're speaking. Committee members, please feel free to come off mute at your discretion. And then for persons attending who are not committee members, you're asked to please hold your questions until each speaker has fully presented. So thank you. As far as chair message, I'll keep it short. I just want to thank the committee members and all that have been actively involved with the PABC. This is our last meeting of the calendar year, and I want to recognize all the hard work that's continuing across the state with this scarce capacity that we have to work with. So just thank you all, and thank you and for all you do. With that, we can go to item number three on the agenda. I'll turn it over to my colleague Sarah Badgewitz from Treasury to discuss the bond status.
Thank you. So it'll be pretty quick. So for the 2023 carry forward, these numbers have been verified with OHCS as of the 3rd. Of the $287.1 million 2023 carry forward, all of that was awarded to OHCS. And as of the 3rd, they have spent issued $229.7 million, leaving $57.3 million left of that 2023 carry forward, which expires at the end of 2026. Other than that, for the current status of 2024 allocations, there has been no change since the last quarter meeting. There are no new allocation requests for this meeting. The OBDD requested $32 million in April, and that was approved, and then requested an extension for that. So other than that, no change since the July meeting. So there is still $46 million of PAB volume 2024 volume cap.
Thank you. That was pretty straightforward, especially since it hasn't been much change. Are there any questions from committee members on the status report?
None from me.
No questions.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Sarah. Item number four we have here, we'll proceed with a presentation. I believe we have a presentation from Oregon Housing with some updates. Who do we have from Housing to present?
Hi, for the record, this is Natasha Detweiler-Davey, Director of Affordable Rental Housing here at OHCS. And I have a wealth of subject matter expertise in the virtual room here to support any questions that you all might have. And I think I will share screen. I think you're seeing that now?
Yep.
Thank you. Okay. Great. So we just wanted to take this opportunity to provide an update on where we are with our resources and what we are doing as we are positioning. And it is kind of astonishing to know that this is our last meeting of 2024. I feel like time has gone very quickly here. And so real appreciation for the ongoing conversations with the committee over the course of the year as we have worked to try to put these resources to use to address housing need across the state. So, and I think I've, you know, come with these quarterly updates through the course of the year. This is kind of the end of the year look at where we are and how we are approaching the resources, acknowledging that there is additional current year resources that we are not requesting at this point in the year, given where our transactions are. And so I think since we were here last quarter, we've closed somewhere around 140 million in additional transactions. So you can see the blue bar here for 2024, the projects that have closed. We then have kind of the next few months of work here planned to deploy the rest, which should bring us pretty close to getting the resources between our current year allocation and the carry forward that we have fully obligated, with some resources returning. I think, you know, there is last quarter, I talked a lot about there were some projects that were not meeting readiness and we were working to resolve those. So those have all been resolved. That has meant that some projects are needing to come back to find resources. It also means that as we had on the far right of that screen, the 2025 pipeline, the projects calendared into the first quarter of 2025, we have had on our calendar list. We have opened a request process to be able to program additional projects in to use 2025 PAB. And so in considering those, that did include some of those projects that were able to say, you know, this isn't working, so let me kind of recast it forward. And so those remaining that are scheduling, we're still working on the details of those as we are assessing those applications. But I think generally that's where we are looking for what we know we would have commitments for in 2025 and have lots of other opportunities to add more projects in there, which I'll talk a little bit more. But as we have done that workout, we have also identified that we have been investing, really focusing on the rental housing side, which has not allowed our single family mortgage lending program to access resources. We're calibrating that to be able to kind of have those strategies lined up moving forward. I think, again, needing to hold to readiness where projects are not being able to produce the quality and caliber of documents that we need to really do the process functions to be able to do it. We are holding a line with those development teams around not wanting to move forward until they are really ready and able to show that responsiveness. And yeah, so at this point, all of these are looking like they are moving along forward. And in terms of looking at, you know, what is the demand for resources, to a significant extent, the size of this remainder 2025 scheduling, those are the projects where we said, who else is ready to close? You have all of your other resources committed and you need private activity bonds. And this is now the size of that tranche of projects, which I think signals pretty effectively that we are over the glut. This is the end of the glut of those projects where the state was funding and Metro was funding projects using 4% tax credits with the Metro Bond resources and Lyft and others that, you know, got the resource really oversubscribed in the first place. And so I think that means some really exciting opportunities ahead of us in terms of bringing that all into a much more aligned process where we are giving those resources together, now knowing that they are fully subscribed. We do continue to see substantial interest and need for low-income housing tax credit projects. I'll talk a little bit more about it on the next slide, but I just pulled a carve out here in terms of there are 50 projects that we have in our application process in this early intake stage that have indicated that they intend to use low-income housing tax credits. Those projects represent over 4,500 units. And half of those have indicated that they would be ready and able to close in 2025 if they had resources. We will not have resources for all of those projects, and they do also need gap financing, and we won't have gap financing for all of those projects. But I think in terms of feeling really sure that there are projects out there that could be using the available resources, I feel like we have a strong, a much better data now through our ORCA process, but also have some really clear and direct signals around that. And so in terms of our pipeline, the challenges, I have condensed the challenges to three bullets instead of a whole slide here. The challenges kind of shift, but they are in the same categories of needs in terms of construction cost challenges and changes exacerbated when the time between when they originally got their gap financing and when they are closing has been expansive. And so I think, again, as we bring resources together, that should be less and less the case. But also, you know, at times really, I don't know if they're unique, but they are specific challenges in terms of, you know, a part for the electricity or grid or what have you that has supply chain challenges and delays that implementation, that when projects are under construction and those kinds of delays happen, it's again very exposing. Interest rate challenges, which have created for some projects where they are going to convert from their construction loan into their permanent loan, you know, challenges in delays in that with rent non-payments and other challenges. And I think that those are project-specific issues to navigate, but that it also impacts and influences the, you know, lender's tolerance for those types of variances and risks in their project profiles. So the industry is needing to adjust to that. Insurance, we know, continues to be a strong challenge for projects as well. And I think our ORCA process functionally is intended to try to have greater connection points across our approval process to be able to make that final decision much closer to readiness, giving the support needed before then, but final decisions at readiness. And for the ORCA, we have been operating the ORCA. We've made a few months of funding recommendations to that through our Housing Stability Council. As of October, we have funded 15 projects with 889 units. Those are all projects that have been funded without tax credits, so and not intended to use tax credits, so they're fully financed with gap resources. We have the 50 projects currently waiting for us to be able to incorporate tax credits into that process. And in the meantime, we have, you know, really a growing pipeline of projects that have been evaluated for against our, you know, evaluation standards and are being placed on a wait list. And so this wait list is effectively our pipeline so that when we get more resources, we will be able to go down into that. That list, the Western region is already in that status. I think as we go through the next couple of months, we'll see that, you know, potentially the Metro region and Eastern region may also be in that same circumstance, which I think is, again, that is intended to be the pipeline so that projects are putting their effort into the projects that they know have some visibility and awareness about when resources would, you know, what that they will be, you know, next in line for resources when they are, because they've already been evaluated to meet standards. Tax credits, again, are not currently offered through the ORCA yet. And so we are currently in the process of engaging, doing public engagement with Housing Stability Council, development stakeholders, jurisdictions, housing authorities, and others around how we go about approaching that. What's the framework for implementing both the 9% and 4% tax credit programs into our application process, the ORCA? And so in that, the intent and the idea is that we are leveraging all of the ORCA process in terms of standards and evaluation, but that in the terms of the 4% resources, we would have a screening as they are going into, you know, as they are setting up their project through an intake process, and then go through the evaluation standards for each of them to be able to secure resources. And we were wanting to connect both private activity bonds and gap funds financing together so that when we give those resources, we're sure that those projects will have the funds to close when they are needing to close. And we're also adding additional nuance to the way that we're managing that on our, you know, conceptual side to be able to get to the actual calendar transition. As we have navigated those, all of those pipeline challenges and opportunities in on the rental side, again, we have had a longstanding single family lending program. I do have Matthew Harris from Debt Management team here to be able to answer deeper questions on those resources. But we have not been prioritizing private activity bonds to be able to continue to support that program. And they have, you know, navigated getting by pretty well, but we have planned out, had, you know, on our kind of strategy back burner list, needing to be able to prioritize private activity bonds over into the future. And I think the opportunity that we saw to be able to kind of take the remaining, you know, make a significant sale to be able to access, as they the terms are, nearly 80 million in zeros to be able to blend down and provide the lower market rate, lower than market interest rates for those loans. And so that was the rationale for approaching it in that strategy. And I guess I didn't reference, on the right hand side, you can see the status of the projects that have been moving through in the ORCA. Again, those are those not even including the projects that are intending to use tax credits. And I would expect that as we make tax credits available, some of those that are currently trying to just use gap financing might change those strategies as well. So maybe I will pause there. I do have a kind of next step slide as well, but I'll pause there if there's any questions.
Any committee members? Any questions?
No? Okay. So in terms of our next steps, we're going to continue to move through with our pipeline. Again, we have a really finalized pipeline for 2024. We have a pretty full pipeline for 2025. Know that there's some potential space there. So we want to finalize the commitments for the projects that are being reviewed or finalized right now, and see what other strategies we will need to implement as we put the tax credits into our ORCA process. We are finalizing our engagement. The most significant part of our engagement this month for those QAP and ORCA updates, intending to finalize those with public comment processes and the framework with Housing Stability Council between November and December, so that in the first quarter of next year, we'll be actually implementing and offering those resources to move forward. And so I think that's really the overall update. I think feel really positive about the both the deployment of these resources. Again, the team really continuing to navigate challenges. I think holding developers to standards in terms of what our requirements are for being able to use resources, as we know that projects are, as we want to feel strong about those projects before they move into construction, and to have our eyes opened about what will be potentially the case as those projects move into construction. But we are doing that work and learning things every day, I think, in the course of doing so. But I think feel really excited about these opportunities to expand the impact of our work with adding tax credits into the ORCA in the very near term, which is exciting.
Great. Let me, any questions from the committee members? I have one question. Can you go back to that graph with the, one more, yeah. So, obviously, if I'm looking at the second bar chart of the 2024 PAB projects, you know, for the last quarter, it seems like we're closing or hoping to close just as much as we have for the whole year up through September. I guess my question is, how does that, I mean, I'm hoping that you accomplish that, but if that doesn't happen and that pushes back into 25, what happens to all those projects that are already in the queue for 25? Does that call a domino effect and push everything back? Or does that, depending on what their delay, it kind of throws them in a different point in the queue?
Yeah, I think, all signs from the production team, and I know leadership from there is here as well, so if there's other thoughts, but I think are that we feel pretty strongly, again, a significant chunk are intended to close this month, and so those are already underway. So that tranche, and then I think the diligence is really active on all of the rest of them. So I think we feel pretty strongly that we will, in the case where projects do have a challenge and are unable to close as scheduled and reflected here, obviously from a functional perspective, that would mean that we would have carry forward to return to PABC, and we would likely intend to come back to request it early first quarter next year, depending on the reason for the change in the closing timeline. Again, as projects are that close to closing, if it is, you know, where it's a 2-week something happened and that actually crosses the calendar year, I think we would have policies to, again, we've allowed, I think, an up to 30-day extension or delay or shift in our policies. And so would want to do that. I think otherwise, where projects are unable to move forward and we've kind of identified and understood that, effectively need them to re-request it at the time when they have that in place. And I think, and so some of those projects where they're kind of proactively managing that, we are able to see that and see the long road, and so know where we needed to have pulled them forward. At this point in time, we haven't seen that, but I do think certainly there are implications if they can't close. Our commitments to them are based on the closing that they have committed to. So I certainly wouldn't want all of the good work that went into that project to be negated. At the same time, there are ways to hold, you know, we have ability to hold to those standards as well. Yeah. I don't know if there's other thoughts from the team, but I think that's effectively, you're right, it is a large amount of projects. And I think honestly, some of that had to do with all of our cadence of building our pipelines as separate from the gap financing. And I think that kind of pushed a lot of those towards the last quarter. And I'm hopeful that in the future, once we get this implemented into ORCA, we won't have that as an ongoing challenge with our systems. And I see Matthew's hands.
Yeah, I just wanted to add on to that, Natasha. For the record, Matthew Harris, I'm the capital markets manager at OHCS. For members of the committee, to answer your question, we do have a number of really large projects that are closing this, I guess it's late fall, moving into early winter before the end of the year. It's a lower number of overall projects, but much higher dollar amounts. Just as an example, there's a Hollywood Hub project that is moving quickly towards closing. They're having a pricing call, I believe next week or the week after, intending to price before the election and then close shortly thereafter. And that's over $74 million. And there are other substantial projects that are making it look like, yes, we have a lot that we're going to close in the next month. But again, they're very large projects, which is nice in some regards.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for that context. Yeah, it's hard to see it here, but that makes sense. But I definitely like the way, you know, it looks, and as far as, you know, very small carry forward, hopefully that is the case throughout the end, for the remainder of the year, and y'all are able to accomplish that. Okay, I don't have anything else. Anybody else, committee members? Okay. Thank you very much for your presentation. Real quickly, I will now entertain questions or any comments from the public if we have any. Okay. Natasha, thank you so much. Appreciate the presentation as always. Look forward to continuing to support housing. So thank you.
Thank you all so much. Have a great new year.
Thank you. You too. That is our last item. So before we adjourn, are there any comments from the committee members? No, hearing none. Okay. The time is now 10:26, and I will entertain a motion to adjourn the meeting.
I move that we adjourn the October 16, 2024 Private Activity Bond Committee meeting.
Is there a second?
I second the motion to adjourn the meeting.
Any objections?
Nope.
Hearing none, the October 16th, 2024 Private Activity Bond Committee meeting is now adjourned. Thank you very much. Thank you all.
Thank you.